Stephen Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how to take imperfect action. We interviewed one of our members. Her name's Bay. She's been a longtime member. The show actually airs next week.
Cool.
Not this week, but next week. And, you know, she said, I asked her a couple of things like, what really separates, I mean, you're in this for life now. She quit her job. She did everything correctly mm-hmm. in the right order and about the right time frames. And she's doing really, really well financially. Plus, which I always miss and Jill always catches, she has this good life balance. Mm-hmm. She's not a crazy type A entrepreneur like most of us. So she said, I take imperfect action. And I think that that's what we want to talk about today. Mm-hmm. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of the members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Jessica wrote, really basic question, but I'm looking at Google Maps and Google Earth Pro trying to understand what I'm looking at. If I look at this parcel that stretches along this road up to the intersection in the 3D model in Google Maps, it looks okay. Maybe a bit hilly, but probably buildable. But then when I look at it at Google Earth Pro, Google Maps got it. Google Earth Pro, it looks way too hilly. How do I know what is too hilly? In other words, when will the hills limit my buyers? Why are these views so different? I use these all the time, but this is more you.
So the way that these 3D rendering satellite images appear on the internet and appear to us as users is much more dramatic than they are. So I'm sorry, it's the reverse. In real life, they are going to seem much more dramatic than they do when you're looking down at them. Same way when you're looking at an airplane, you're looking at stuff and it's like, oh, it's not that big of a deal, but you stand there and the wall's 22 feet tall or whatever. So my professional recommendation is to learn how to use layers in these maps. One of them's called terrain. And before all these renderings, these maps, you know, somebody my age, that's the only thing we had. Right. So you can see it's 300 peaks, 400, 500, 600 feet or whatever. And believe me, something that's 600 feet's not buildable. There's two questions in here. So that's the deal. Just, it's like in your car where it says things in the mirror might appear to be closer than they are. That's very much what's going on here. It might appear to be okay on the maps, but it's not.
It's like, and we have that, I think we have a terrain setting, I'm sure we do, in Neighbor Scoop.
We do, I know we do.
And it's like, if you look at a hill, it's like it'll have circles, like an outline of the hill. And that's kind of like the levels of the elevation. Yeah. So,
like the rings in a tree.
Uh-huh, exactly, that's cool. What else I was going to say? I have another cheap way to do this. You can always call. Worst case scenario, you're really not sure, you're having a real hard time with this. You could call Planning and Zoning. They'll get out of the map and help you. And I think that, they'll talk about that. They'll probably talk too long about it.
That leads to me to what I really think this question is about. Should I buy this property and can I use it?
Right.
Can the person who I'm going to sell it to, can they put something on it?
Right.
And Jill just answered that question. Really have to call and find out.
Exactly.
And look at the neighbors. If the neighbors figured it out without digging a hole, then maybe okay.
Funny. You and I were recently coming back. We had lunch at a place, a Mexican joint, on the way out of Lake Arrowhead. And there's a restaurant on the side of a hill, like mountain really, that defies gravity. You know, and we're sitting there having lunch going, I'm not sure I feel so safe. You know, it's like totally built on stilts. So often you really don't know. You know, I took pictures of the view, but I should have taken pictures at it, you know, from a different angle on the side or something, just to show people, you know, this is one of those properties that we probably would have thought, don't bother, but they made it work, right? And it's like, there's nothing around there, by the way. So they brought it, figured out the plumbing, they figured out the power. It's the craziest thing.
This is a fantastic point, actually. I'm glad you brought that up. In most places, not all places, in most places, all those things happened a long, long, long time ago. You're never going to build a house on stilts right now. You're just not, unless it's a very special situation. There's certain places, especially in California.
Right. And you're loaded.
And in certain places, Yeah, I mean, it's not even a money thing. It's just to get it passed with the building department and the municipalities. It's like building a marina now. It's never going to happen. It's just not going to happen, at least here. There are certain places like Arkansas. My point in bringing this up is like, oh my gosh, I got this piece of property right next to it. Is this 4-star restaurant on stilts. This property's got to be worth $1 bajillion. It's not, because that was built in the 20s probably, before there was really even zoning, or, you know, there was a time when there was no zoning. Boy. Or there certainly wasn't
anybody. Wouldn't that have been great?
Certainly wasn't anybody looking over your shoulder when you decided to build something. The attitude back then was, we won the war, or we're about to win. We won the first one, we're going to win the second one. Let's build some stuff. Let's make this a better place. And the attitude now is absolutely not that. It's like, let's stop progress. Mm-hmm. And most places, there's places in the center of the country, I've noticed Arkansas recently, where it's like, you want to build something, just please go build it. Just be responsible about it. And I don't think that's like a dream.
I know. That makes me think of this property. One time I sold this huge property to these guys in West Texas. So rural, it's not even funny. You know, and the conversation was, who's going to know? You know, short of putting a casino out there, because it was huge. No one driving by would know what you've done.
Yeah,
it's kind of funny. Now, I'm not advocating that, but I'm just saying I can see people doing that, and I'm sure it goes on.
Yeah. This common sense applies to all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If Google Earth is, you know, how many times on the Thursday call have we reviewed property and we said, this looks great, this looks great, this looks great. Then we go to the street view,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, you look straight up
exactly.
at it.
Exactly.
Like it's the Great Wall of China.
Isn't that crazy? I love that feature.
Yep.
I use it all the time too.
Today's topic, taking perfect action. This is the meat of the show.
That was a good interview we did with Bay. I'm excited for that coming. I think everyone's going to get a lot out of it. And we did one a few years ago with her that people still talk about. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be really good.
She's a marketing branding expert. So she brings a lot of real hands-on corporate type continuing education to the group. And this is a great example, taking perfect action. I mean, what does that mean to you? I've used this term probably 25 times since we had that interview.
Oh, really?
People, yeah.
That's sweet. That's really cool.
On and off the camera.
What it is just do it. Don't
just
stop.
Do it.
You know, that we, who was I talking to recently about this? I can't remember who it was, but it was somebody in an online community. And I'm like, you just got to get going. You're not going to be perfect. If you spend, you know, a month picking an area, and a month downloading the data, and a month scrubbing the data, and a month pricing the data, and then a month getting your letters just perfect, and then getting them out in the mail. Okay, now what? It's 4-6 months have passed. You're not going to get anywhere. You can't do it. You have to just, you know, dive in and go for it at some point.
There's 100. I applied this immediately to not getting a mailer out. I don't know why.
Me too.
Okay, good. Yeah. So there's probably 25 reasons at least.
Right.
Why somebody would never get a mailer out. Like, what do you think?
I know one. They're afraid to answer the phone. Right out of the gate, I have heard people saying, they're afraid I'm going to do it wrong. I'm going to overprice, I'm going to underprice, and the people are going to call me back, and they're going to know I did it wrong, seriously, and they're afraid to answer the phone.
You know what? Trust me. Mm-hmm. These people know less about this real estate than you do, first of all.
Yes. And so what my answer to that is, get over it, number one. So 5 phone calls in, you got this. You will feel like a pro, I promise. And if you're really worried and or you don't have the time but you have the resources, hire somebody. Get somebody like Pat Live to answer those calls, screen those calls for you. They've been doing it for a lot of our members for years, especially guys that have, you know, full-time jobs. And they just can't be around during the day when these sellers are calling back, and they'll weed through them for them. But no matter what, every person has said, all right, my favorite was our friend Ken. We were teaching him, and he says he felt so beat up that he could take a baseball to the face and it wouldn't hurt. Oh, that was funny. I'm like, oh, Ken. And it's not that bad. They're not, you know, these sellers are not mad at you, I promise.
Oh, I think they are.
Okay. Well, I personally, it's so funny. I love that the person that I have on my team now, that this is their one of their primary jobs is answering the phone. She's like me, where she makes it a mission to get them to come around and befriend them. That's her mission, and get this and get the, you know, the seller talking. So that's one example. I'm trying to think. Another one I find a lot of people doing that they need to get over is just buying the property. They'll get the mail out, the calls are in, they're looking at them, and they can't make the decision. They're afraid to say, yes, I'm going to follow through, I'm going to buy this property.
I think this concept, this silly little three-word concept, applies to so much stuff other than real estate and in life. And I think that before you got to Land Academy, there's a long history of you either taking imperfect action or not.
I just thinking about, like, I had a funny one of, like, parenting. People don't really think about that too much before they go and say, let's have a baby. You know what I mean?
I was just thinking the same thing.
That's hilarious.
And getting married and all kinds of stuff.
Married, there we go. Talk about taking imperfect action.
I mean, I think you go into those things, even as a super young person, really thinking this isn't going to be perfect. I don't think there's any delusion about that, do you?
I wish I would have taken more time and thought about those ones.
It applies to everything.
It does. You know, here's one. Like, we talk about this with our kids. Picking a degree, picking a college. A lot of people, that's scary. But what if I make a mistake? And they almost will, like, I need to take some time and think about this. I need to take a year off or something. Like,
no.
Hold on a moment,
no,
right?
No.
If you know you want to go into some professional thing that's going to need a degree, just start college and you could tweak your path a little bit. That's, I think, a good imperfect action.
I have a long, long history of taking imperfect action in my academic experience. For instance.
Yeah, please share.
The vast majority of tests or exams or final exams or midterms I've taken in a college setting have been cold. I didn't study at all.
Wow.
Talk about taking imperfect action.
And here you are.
Intentionally never crack a book, go to a couple of lectures, and walk in and take the exam. I don't know how kids take exams now. We had to walk.
Scary.
We had to go in there. That's my whole college career.
That's
and I still got the piece of paper at the end.
Wow.
And it wasn't perfect.
Good for you.
So I don't know what experiences need. We all know somebody who's just got to walk around and be perfect. Like, the house has got to be perfect. Everything's got to be perfect. And they walk around upset
mad.
Or disappointed.
Yeah.
Disappointed in themselves and disappointed in the world because stuff's not perfect all the time.
That's true.
That's not going to work.
That's not fun.
It's crazy.
You're never going to get anywhere. My point in this whole topic is, if you don't take some action, you're never going to get there. I actually want it not to be perfect.
So do I.
I want you to come at this.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Knowing you're going to make a mistake and ready for it, and you're going to tweak it, fix it, and move on and not do it again. That's my thing too. Don't, whatever imperfect things you do, please don't repeat them.
I was going to close with that. Jill is a perfect example of massive success imperfectly. And she doesn't care. Like,
yeah, look at me. Well, just kidding.
We'll send out a mailer. I'll send out a mailer. And she doesn't hurt. She, whatever comes back, she knows it's going to be not perfect at all. In fact, this whole business model is imperfect. She changes, she adapts and overcomes and makes deals out of this stuff. And it's not like she sat herself down ever and I think sat down and said, well, this is how it's got to be because the mailer sucks. She never comes back to me and says, well, you're an idiot. What were you thinking with these prices?
Could you imagine? What if I came back and said, okay, you screwed this up. Here's the phone. You do it.
Right. We'd be partners for 20 more minutes.
That would be exactly.
And I don't ever go back to her and say, why can't you turn these into deals?
Right.
Why can't you, you know, you got 48 phone calls yesterday and you didn't make one transaction happen. Can you imagine if that's the kind of partnership
goodness.
We had? It would be be the last week of our partnership.
I've been listening to your calls, and here's what I think you should have done. Whoa. That would be bad.
That stuff never, ever happens.
No.
It's not even happened once now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Just take some action, and the sooner you fail, the sooner you're going to succeed.
Happy you could join us today. 5 days a week, you can find us right here on the Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on the Land Academy Show is called How to Improve Your Acquisition Confidence. You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Here's my question.
Ready.
how much, and I'm going to talk about this on the Thursday call today in great detail, how much should we be talking about stuff like how to improve your acquisition confidence versus this is a 40-acre property. It's on the road. This is what you should be buying. This is what you shouldn't be buying. Just dry, verbatim, real estate. Rural vacant land advice on how to buy and sell land.
Yeah, maybe that's better. No, maybe confidence is not necessary.
Oh my gosh, Mrs. I'm totally Mrs. kidding. Sarcasm.
You
today.
Know, yeah, yeah.
I asked myself. I'll tell you why. Because I'm a student. I'm a student in a different group. Just because I want to see how they do it, uh-huh. And I want to learn.
Right.
You know, you never stop
learning.
And
how's it going? So, what kind of student are you, babe?
Well, I'm the dry one.
Okay.
And so I'm sitting there listening to these guys teach this whole thing. And they do a bang-up job, by the way. Just, I mean, I'm really like, wow. These guys have, they're the land academy of their little real estate niche.
You do realize everyone's going to write in now and ask you about it.
Well, you know, I'm not going to tell them.
Okay.
I'm really not. Okay. And I will talk about it in great detail for our members on Thursday.
Okay.
But I really, that's going to be the thing this week. Like, should we be talking about how to improve your confidence? Maybe, or should we leave that to, like, Tony Robbins and really talk about real estate?
Oh.
Or should you be Tony Robbins in this little duo thing that we've created?
I kind of thought that was the whole information inspiration thing.
These are open-ended questions. Call this I don't know the answers,
week.
You know?
This could be kind of inspiration week if that's how it's
this
going.
Is inspiration
week. I think we need a little bit of both.
That's not crazy. This is inspiration week.
Okay. Surprise. Truth time. Truth time. We goofed. We're going to call this Inspiration Week now. We just decided.
After I forgot it. Truth time.
Yeah, that was funny. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you find our content valuable, and we really appreciate your support. If you haven't already, please check out our YouTube channel and hit the subscribe button.
And your comments and suggestions help us create the type of content you're here for. Hitting the like button helps to support our channel's algorithm and gauge your interest in future shows. It's all about the data.
We're Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.